Let's pray. Father, we thank you, for there's no other name under heaven whereby men and women can be saved but by the name and the person of Jesus. Oh, we thank you for what you mean to us. And may today we just have another look at you and come to adore you and to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to encourage you before I begin my message today that if there will be a feeding of the homeless today, and that has moved to the Temecula area, so a lot closer. So if you would like to do something for someone else that really has meaning for them, please join those who are leading out, Shirley, Pam, many others. See them. They'll be glad to give you directions on where that's at. And so that's today, I guess roughly two-ish, somewhere in that range. They'll be glad to have you there. And the people will appreciate your visit. Another way to look at Christmas is the title of our message for this afternoon. Who's the meanest, most ruthless, lying, conniving, murderous, cheating being who ever set foot on this planet? I kind of asked that rhetorical, but you answered it anyway. Now, if you knew that there was such a one, wouldn't you want to avoid that individual? And surprisingly, one of the places that he shows up, somebody that way, believe it or not, he even comes to church and brings some of his lieutenants to church with him. That's how diabolical he is. In fact, the book of Revelation, the scripture that was read so well by Amber, talks about the devil. If you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says, "And war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to this earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And you want to know how I know that he's so bad? Because he has the audacity to pick a fight with God. And he loses. Of course you're going to lose. And you know something? When he lost, he was not in a very good mood. So that's why, from time to time, you'll hear expressions like the battle between good and evil. Or for the postmodern, battle between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. But for the Christians, it's the battle between Christ and Satan. And more specifically, for Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we've taken it a step further. You know what we call it? We call it the Great Controversy. It's all the same. And the Bible tells us what happens. Revelation 12 and verse 12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you." We always leave the "you" out. We don't put the emphasis on the "you." The devil has come down to you having great anger, wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And we see him in the Bible at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 1 through 13, where he causes Adam and Eve to disobey God and bring sin into our world. We see the first murder that he brought on when Cain kills his brother Abel in Genesis 4 and verse 8. And then Jesus, I want you to turn there because I want you to see it. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus himself identifies him. And listen, these are the words that Jesus has to say about him in John chapter 8 and verse 44. While you're turning there, I'm going to begin reading. And this is what the Bible says. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's some strong words coming from Jesus. Now I want you to tell me if what I'm getting ready to say to you is correct. This devil shuts down for Christmas. Oh, I knew I'd get a laugh, a chuckle. I think that was the answer. Does the devil shut down for Christmas? Now, I want to let you know, as I talk about another way to look at Christmas, I know that he wasn't born December the 25th, Jesus. I know that. I know you know that. It comes up every year at this time of the year. I know that December the 25th was the birthday of the invincible Son, S-U-N. I know that. Now, I want you to know that I know that Santa Claus would have to make 822 visits per second at 3,000 times the speed of sound in order to get to all those homes and give out all those gifts. I want you to know that I know that. Can you believe somebody calculated that? I know that 56% of Americans sing Christmas carols to their pets. I want you to know that I know that. I want you to know that if you survey 5,500 Christmas cards, that you'd only find 67 of them that have Bible stories on them. I know that only 1 in 100 would have a nativity scene. I want you to know that I know those things about Christmas. That most of the cards have season's greetings. But I'm going to tell you, can you believe that there's a war at Christmas time? That there is a war against Christmas? This time of the year when there are bows and bells and decorations and ribbons and the church looks so nice. That the devil's going to take off and he won't see us again till the first of the year. He doesn't shut down for the holidays. In fact, I want to tell you that there is an attack, and I want to tell you why there's an attack on Christmas. Do you know that the Rockefeller Christmas tree is no longer called the Rockefeller Christmas tree? It's called the tree at Rockefeller Center. You know that it was a bill introduced in 2002 in the California Senate to rename the state holiday tree to the state Christmas tree. And of course, that bill failed. Do you know that Lowe's started calling their Christmas trees family trees and holiday trees until they got a lot of heat? They kept the Spanish name for Christmas tree because most of us don't do well at Spanish, some of us anyway. So we didn't pick up that Christmas tree was still called Christmas tree in Spanish, but for English we call it holiday tree or family tree. I want you to stay with me. You have to stay with me or you're going to get confused. Do you know in 2005, Target made a decision to cut out the word Christmas in their advertisement until 700,000 people sent them signed petitions, and they changed it within a week back to Christmas. I'm telling you today to take another look at Christmas the way we look at it. You see, in the middle of all of this that happens, all of the beautiful decorations and all that, do you know what it's really about? It's the story of the great controversy. That's right, it is. In the Bible, we see very plainly where the devil raises his head. In the time of the Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 17, we see that he had made that they had made a decision, the Egyptians, to kill all the babies. You see that in Exodus chapter 1, 17 and verse 22. Every son who is born you shall cast in the river. And then we see him again raising his head in Matthew chapter 1 and verses 21 through 23, chapter 2, 13 through 16, where the devil tries to kill all the children under the age of 2 in order to get Jesus. The devil does not shut down because this is the month that people celebrate Christmas. He doesn't care if you're a billion-dollar golfer. He didn't care. He didn't care if you're a president, a premier, or a pastor. He doesn't shut down. The devil is the dirtiest fighter to ever pick a fight. And it's at Christmas. I got to tell you this. It's at Christmas that you cannot let your guard down. Can I just open up and be frank about this whole Christmas thing? I've always been a little conflicted because I've grown up, my home where my parents, when I grew up, we loved Christmas. It may have been a childish reason. You get those gifts and, you know, the food just gets a little better. You get a lot of it. So you can't fault me for liking that, can you? So I grew up liking that. But when I came to the church, I had a lot of mixed messages. You know, the pastors used to preach that sermon, and you know the two Babylons. Oh, come on, don't act like y'all never heard of it. Y'all know all of those facts. I could come up with one of those sermons about all the pagan background and history. And we know Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. I know it all. And you don't have to meet me at the door and tell me all of that. I know it. I know it probably better than you. But I have to tell you, I've been conflicted because we have people, shouldn't have anything to do with it. You know that there's some churches, they wouldn't dare put up a tree in their church. Absolutely not. You know the origins. And then our prophet, Ellen White, because I quoted when I put my tree up in my house. Oh. I quoted. She said you can put a tree up even in the church. That's right. So that conflicts me. What do I do with that? Come on, you know you've been conflicted too. What do we do with this Christmas? What makes this a special time? We know Jesus wasn't born this day. We know it. What makes this a special time? It's a good chance that Jesus was born in September. You want to pick a good month. December is not the good month. So what do we do with this? And I have concluded that what's going on, why there's a conflict, is because, first of all, the devil wants to make sure, if we're going to call this Christmas, he's going to make sure that we take Jesus out of it. He does not want you to say the name Jesus, anything but Jesus. Even if I had to come up with something called Santa Claus. He does not want us to say Jesus. And I have discovered this is not necessarily a better time, but I have discovered that sometimes at this time of the year, we are better people. Because we get a glimpse of him. For some reason, we are nicer during this time of the year. It's more palatable this time of the year. And I believe it's because of Jesus. I believe we get a glimpse. That's the only thing that I can come up with. To God, why didn't you eradicate this from Adventism? We tell you about Sabbath versus Sunday, but we're conflicted with Christmas. Yeah, I believe it's because we're a lot nicer. Because we see him. Maybe you say that's my way of rationalizing so I can keep it. But if I'm nicer, you're better off. Amen. Maybe it's bigger than ribbons and bows and toys and hot apple cider. You see, we are players in a great struggle of creation. And it is, and this is why I brought it up, it is a fight with sin, and it doesn't stop at December 1 and wait till the first of the year. Sin is a problem all year long. And the Bible says with Jesus, one of the first passages about Jesus in the New Testament, and they shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Amen. It's the biggest problem we have. Amen. Doesn't stop December 1. But you still haven't quite answered. If I just gave you the answer I gave you and I was sitting in the audience, I wouldn't be satisfied. Why would God allow us to carry such a tradition? You've had to ask yourself that. No, December 25th's not that. Why can't I get this out of my mind? And then I read something that said, January the 8th was the busiest day of the year for divorce lawyers. Something's there. Something's there. And then I came to realize the devil is still messing with us. He is. It's what he does. And someone had done a poll, and I want to share that with you. And you know, the people that they polled, this is what their results. 19% of people felt that they were having mental health or problems managing their mental health at Christmas time. That they have stress about repaying their Christmas bills. 25% were depressed during this time of the year. 20% have problems paying their rent or mortgage this time of the year. 50% admit to spending more than they can afford. 33% take 6 months or more to pay off their Christmas spending, and some are paying for it a year later. I hope you get my point. Oh, the devil's messing with us. And we even think it's a boom business-wise, but the truth be told that it's a boom or bust cycle, and for many, it's a bust. You see, most companies, the big companies, make 50% of their profit in the last 3 months. What months do you think they are? October, November, December. Then the rest of the months is really lean. Guess who survives and who goes down? Small companies go down and out. Big companies like Walmart and Target and all the rest, they stay in business. And they may try and fool you that things are better, but because of those 3 months, but they're better for the big boys. Small businesses can hardly make it. If truth be told, it's a very stressful time of the year. How do I know? Sergeant Major, because I was in the military. And there was one stretch I was gone 3 Christmases in a row, Stanley. I was deployed. And you know what? You know what's hardest with the troops? Is to be gone. Regardless of religion, they could have no faith, no religion. Christmas is the most difficult time for them to be away. And you know what I discovered? It's at this time of the year that I could talk about Jesus more than any other time. That's right. You can even read the Christmas story at work and get away with it. You can. God, in his infinite wisdom, must have known that. It is the most stressful time, but it is the time when we need Jesus more. You cannot afford to not see Jesus in Christmas. I hope you get my point. You cannot afford to not see Jesus in Christmas. In fact, there's not a day in this year that you could let go Jesus. Even if you don't like the fact of the baby story, keep it anyhow. You need it. Ask that young lady over there in Italy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Devil doesn't let up because it's Christmas. You need him every single day. You know why I know this is a special time? Because of this passage. Isaiah. Remember when Isaiah was written? It ends, this is the way Isaiah says. For Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Luke 2:14, the angel says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It is the time of the year when I look for a little peace. And I find it in a simple baby story. Only God could come up with that. The devil couldn't come up with that. Only God could come up with such a story to touch men's hearts. If it was a story of a big person, it would never work. So God became a little child. And thank God for the peace that we look for in this time of the year. May that be what happens in your home. You can't buy this. You can't get it at the store. Only Jesus can give it to you. Amen. Do you want to accept his peace today? That's what this season is all about. Oh, help me find it, Lord Jesus, this time of the year once again. May the Lord help you to find it. Find it in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a great God you are. What a good God you are. In the midst of so much hurrying and scurrying about, you are peace in the midst of it all. We cannot, even though we understand the dynamics, Lord, we cannot afford to let you go. We cannot take you out of our lives this time of the year. There's no toy. There's no thing, material, that is greater than you. And as I close, it gives me a chance to read one more of my favorite. And I'll end with this. He was a man born in an obscure village, and you can lift your heads up. The child of a peasant woman, he grew up in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was an itinerant teacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never traveled except in his infancy and still not more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompanies greatness. He had no credentials but himself. And while he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away, and one of them even denied him, and he was turned over to his enemies. He went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves, and his executioners gambled for the only thing that he owned. That was the robe on his back. When he was dead, he was taken down from the cross and laid in a borrowed grave through the courtesy of a friend. 2,000 centuries have come and gone. And today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of all good human progress. And I am well within the mark when I say of all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed and all the parliaments that ever sat and all the kings that have ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of mankind upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise be to God for his goodness to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Bless us during this season to understand what it's really all about. Great controversy and how it ends. Is you win, and we win. We thank you for the cross that sealed the victory. All we have to do is take a hold of it and make you our Lord. Bless us and save us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You were kind.